If you'll take your Bibles with me this evening and turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, I'd like you to consider our great salvation through a picture of a 450-foot long, 75-feet wide, 45-foot high boat called an ark. When we come to Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 1, in which God extends an invitation to Noah and his family, we are now, I'm told, approximately 1,656 years into human history. When Noah was born, his story begins in chapter 5 and verse number 29. Adam had only been dead 130 years. Noah's grandfather was the great and godly man named Methuselah. Noah's father, Lamech, gave birth to, his wife gave birth to Noah and named him Noah, which means comforter, one who brings rest. The day in which Noah was born was a day when we're told that the population of the world probably exceeded 1 billion souls. When you consider that humanity lived about 10 times the normal lifespan that we live today. Noah, in fact, lived to be 950 years of age. The Bible doesn't record all of the sons and rarely any of the daughters. The Bible just simply says they had many sons and daughters of the great patriarchs. But sadly, in the day in which Noah was born, the world was turning its way away from God. And throughout all of history, there has always been a downward trend in humanity. From God walking in the garden with Adam till you see the days of Noah 1600 years later, now every imagination of their hearts is only evil continually. Murderous, evil, wicked world. And then when we come to this chapter, Noah is about 600 years of age. Can you believe it that Enos, the grandson of Adam, was still alive when Noah was born? When we come to chapter number 7, Noah's oldest son, Shem, is about 98 years of age, according to Genesis 11:10. God had come to Noah over 100 years earlier, prior to the birth of Shem or Ham or Japheth, for Noah's wife was evidently barren until that time, but God had come to Noah and told him to build an ark. To pitch it within and without. To build this 3-story boat and put a window around what looks like, he said, about a cubit below the roof line. And it seems as if that window extended around the perimeter of the ark. God had said to Noah that when you finish completing this boat, then I will send you 2 of every species of animals and 7 of every clean species of animal, male and female, and will bring them onto the ark. Some have said, why, that's ridiculous. Now, he said he would bring every species, not every subspecies. He didn't say he'd bring 2 of every chihuahua, and 2 of every golden retriever, and 2 of every black Labrador, but he did bring a male and female of the dog species. Neither did he say that the animals that would be brought into the ark would be fully developed or fully grown. After all, an elephant, when it's born, only weighs a few hundred pounds. That still seems kind of large, doesn't it? But when you come to chapter number 7, now then, the ark is completed. 1.5 million cubic feet of space filled with animals, filled with birds, filled with all the species of the world, filled with food. And now when we come to chapter number 7, God says to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." And notice verse number 7. "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." This historical event, nearly 3,700 years old, is a beautiful picture of what it means to be born again, what it means to be saved. You see, the ark of Genesis chapter number 7 is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And that ark of Christ will carry us through the flood of God's judgment upon this world and will preserve the believer to his or her eternal resting place in glory with God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But, like Noah, the only individuals that are preserved through the judgment of God are those that respond to His invitation to come into the ark by coming into the ark. Now Noah and his family went into the ark, and they were preserved through the flood of waters. And I'm here to testify this evening of my gratitude unto God that I can say this evening that my wife and I and all of our children have come into the ark and we're safe inside of the ark. My, what a wonderful joy to be saved, to be preserved through the flood of life and eternal judgment that God will bring upon this earth. To know that our sins are forgiven, that heaven is our home, that Christ is our Savior. Oh, what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor it is to respond to the invitation of Christ to come into the ark. I want you to notice that He did not say, "Go into the ark." For God to say to go into the ark would have indicated that the Lord was not in the ark. But I tell you where the Lord said, "Come into the ark," because that's exactly where the Lord is. And when you come into the ark of salvation, my friend, you come into a personal relationship with the eternal, everlasting Son of God. Come into the ark. This evening, in these next few minutes, I'd like to add my voice to God's and add my voice to Noah's. And I'd like to add my voice to all of the other saints that have come into the ark. And I'd like to say to you this evening, if you're without Christ, come into the ark. You see, beloved, that is what every child of God is to be doing while we're still here on planet Earth. We're at this place in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 7 where we are in the ark, but the door is still open and the door is not closed and the judgment has not fallen yet and there is still room for others to come on board the ark. And may we be at this business of saying to those that are around us, come into the ark. 4 times in the New Testament, this little story out of Genesis chapter number 6, 7, 8, and 9 is mentioned. And every time that it's mentioned in the New Testament, we are confronted with a compelling reason for coming into the ark. And so this evening, I want those of us that are in the ark, I want us to rejoice in the blessings and the benefits that come to us because we're in the ark. And I also would like this to stir us up that we might with greater enthusiasm and zeal and vigor call out to those that are outside of the ark and welcome them and invite them in Christ's name to come into the ark with us. Because, my friend, there is only one ark and there is only one door, and one day the door will shut, and one day the judgment will come, and one day it'll be eternally, everlastingly too late for everyone that is outside of the ark. The first occasion that the ark and Noah is mentioned in the New Testament comes from the lips of our Savior Himself in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Would you take your Bibles and turn there with me, please? I would like to look at each of these instances in the New Testament where Noah and the ark are mentioned, and briefly make comments concerning the blessings of coming into the ark. And if you're here tonight or you're watching over World Wide Web and you have never come into the ark, I pray that tonight that you will step into the ark. There's nothing to compare with living in the ark. In Matthew chapter 24 and the 36th verse, our Lord Jesus is speaking. In chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew's Gospel, He's responding to a question that was asked of Him as He sat on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, and His disciples asked Him, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, I realize that this is a prophetical passage. I realize that it is a tribulation passage. It is talking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, the principle that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter number 24 and explaining and exhorting these men concerning His second coming is applicable to every one of us concerning this matter of coming into the ark. Jesus said in verse number 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but My Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You see, they did not know the day. They did not know the hour. They did not know the moment when God would shut the door and the rains would descend and the fountains of the deep would blow up, would open up. But they did know that it would happen. And so all of those that came into the ark, Noah and his wife and Shem and Ham and Japheth and their wives, their future was secured the moment they stepped over the threshold and entered into the ark. Oh, we're living in a world that wonders and worries about their future. Oh, they pay all kinds of exorbitant sums of money to go to someone and they'll open their hand and they'll read their palm. They'll go to a place and they'll look in a crystal ball. One time I was visiting and preaching in the country of Mexico. A dear friend of mine there, a great preacher that has done a significant work for God there in Mexico and now in many other countries of the world. He took me into a village that was the winter home of Satanist Anton LaVey. When I came into the community, the street lights in the community, they were all of black wrought iron and they were all scorpions. That's the street lights in the city. They had attempted for many, many years to establish a gospel preaching church in that community, but without success. He took me on the street there, the main street, which was lined with palm readers and tarot card readers and people that would read your future with crystal ball. And the city during the day was just inundated with multitudes of people. And they were paying money to stand in line to have somebody read their palm and tell them about their future. They were curious. They wondered. Now, the people that kept the gospel out of that community, those were the ones that were the Satan worshipers. These were the ones that were reading the tarot cards and reading the palms and looking at the horoscopes, because they did not want someone coming into the community that could tell the people that the future is not in the palm of your hand. Unless you've got a Bible in your hand, because the future is found in the Word of God. The future is found in Christ. And when you and I come into the ark, our future was secured. Jesus said, "Oh, it'll be a day and no man will know the hour." Why, they'll be marrying, giving and burying. They'll be eating and drinking. They'll be going along with the business of life. And then one day, suddenly, it'll all be over. And this evening, beloved, I'm reminded that for every one of us in this room tonight, that it is appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us, ere the Lord return for us, before we pass from this life, the death angel will come our way and will breathe our last breath, and our heart will stop beating, and we'll slip out into eternity. And thanks be to God, when you're in the ark, you don't have to worry about your death, because you know that when you die, lo, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Beloved, in 1959, I stepped over into the ark, and because of that, my future's secure. I don't need to worry about death anymore, because I'm in the ark. What a terrible way to live one's life. Fearful. But even more terrible, a testimony it is for the child of God to live his or her life as if their future was not secured. You see, no matter how rough the storms in your life may be, my friend, as long as you're in the ark, you don't have to be afraid. If you're outside trying to swim through the storm, trying to survive the storm, they have every reason to worry. But my friend, when you're inside the ark, your future is secure. And that's what helps the intelligent, faithful, maturing child of God to face life without being overwhelmed when they read the newspaper, when they watch the news, when they see what happens in the economics of their world, when they see what's happening in the morality of our world, when they see what's taking place in the political arenas. Oh, my friend, if you and I are in the ark tonight, our future is secure, and one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto His coming shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fret? When Jesus is my Savior and I'm in the ark, my future is secure, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the ark. Come into the ark if you're not saved tonight. Because in the ark, your future is secure. No more fear of death. No more fear of the Lord's return and you being left behind. My wife's father, who's been with the Lord now since 1976, when he was a young farm boy, his family were all saved except for him. One day he came home from school, and just prior to him coming home from school to the family farm, his mother had been called away to a farm next door, and the dinner was on the stove, and the table was set, and the radio was on, and yet when he walked through the door, he couldn't find mother. Couldn't find father, couldn't find any of his brothers and sisters. He fell on his face and he cried out, fearing that he had been left behind, that Christ had returned. But oh, he said, when he heard the turn of the door and he saw his mother's face, how relieved he was to know that the door of the ark was still open. But one day the ark's door will close. They'll call the coroner. They'll go to the florist. They'll go to the funeral home and pick out your casket. But you won't be there.
No, you won't be there. If you're outside of the ark, you'll be in hell. But if you're in the ark, you'll be in heaven. Thank God that when we come into the ark, our future is secure. The second occasion in which this is mentioned in the New Testament is in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in which we find 16 individuals, great heroic men and women of the Old Testament, named, each of them having the common denominator of being men or women of extraordinary faith. Though many examples could have been given by God concerning Noah's faith in God, I want you to notice verse number 7, in which Noah is spoken of and his ark, where God's word says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I am glad to know this evening that when Noah and his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-laws stepped over the threshold into that ark, they need not bring any fare except faith. You see, many, many people sat outside the ark in Noah's day and they said, you know, that's an ark, all right. And you know, this old man just might be right, and maybe one day, although it's never rained before, Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible says that it did not rain on the earth, but rather God put a mist out upon the earth that watered the gardens and watered nature. And sure, this prophet of God, this preacher that's been preaching this coming judgment and this flood that's coming, maybe it's all true after all. And sure, it looks like a sturdy boat. If that's going to happen, that's the place I'd like to be. But they didn't get over into the ark simply because they believed in the ark. They only came into the ark when they exercised faith. You see, I fear that there are many, many people who have prayed a prayer somewhere, who have said, well, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. Did you know that the devils believe also and tremble? You realize that there is a vast difference between believing intellectually and believing and receiving with one's heart? It's Saturday morning, God willing, Clifford will take me to the airport and I'll get a boarding pass and step out to a waiting area there at the Belfast airport to catch a British Midland flight to London, then from London to Chicago. And I believe that that airplane, I think when I came in it was an Airbus 321. I believe that that airplane could carry me to London. I believe that it has all the power that's necessary. I believe the pilots are trained. And I like those gals in the caps. British Midland has the cutest outfits for their ladies. They wear these cute round caps. But if they start calling the customers to get on the plane, they call them once and people get up and they make their way there and get on the plane. I've got my boarding pass right there with me. They call twice. They call a third time. If I just sit there, will I ever get to London? No. You see, I can believe that the plane will carry me to London, but unless I get up and I step on board the plane, I'll never get to London. There are many, many people who never get on the ark, though they know the ark is 450 feet long, it's 75 feet wide, they know it's filled with two species, they know all of the details about the ark. They understand salvation, but they never have personally received Christ as their Savior. That is the only fare to pay, F-A-R-E. It is the fare of faith. You can't buy a ticket to go to heaven. You don't have enough money. You and I can't buy our way into heaven. We could not be perfect enough because the Bible says that there can be no sin allowed into heaven. I must be transformed. I must be changed. I can't be good enough. I cannot be perfect. But the fare was paid 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And now He stands and He says, the ticket of faith will get you on board if you're willing. The Bible says here that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. His faith was not in some silly idea or some silly idealist. His faith was in the sovereign Word of God to him. The Bible says that Noah was warned of things not seen as yet. And I stand here 3,700 years later and I warn you concerning things not seen as yet. You have not stepped over the threshold into eternity. Neither have I. But I would remind every one of us that our Savior, more than anyone else in all of the Word of God, warned us concerning the fiery judgment of an eternal hell. The very first sermon recorded by our Savior is in Matthew chapters 5 and 6 and 7, over and over again. Matthew 5, 22, Matthew 5, 29, Matthew 5 and 30, Matthew 7 and 19, Matthew 10 and 28, Matthew 11 and 23, 13 and 40 and 42 and 50, 16 and 18, Matthew 18 and 8 and 18 and 9, hellfire, everlasting fire, cast into hell, pluck your eye out, if that'll keep you out of going, if that'll keep you from going to hell. He says, cut off your hand and it'll keep you from going to hell. It's where the worm doesn't die. It's where the fire is never quenched. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. He said it was a place created for a disobedient Lucifer named the devil and his angels. And God doesn't want any of us to go there. Perhaps 1 billion people on planet Earth, how many of them believed the warning? Only 8. If you make your choices and decisions in your life, unsaved friend, on the basis of majority opinion, you'll never get saved. But if you'll believe the warning of Scriptures, you'll be like Noah. The Bible says he was moved with fear. You say, well, I'm not going to be afraid of that. Then you're a fool. Jesus said, don't be afraid of people that will kill the body and have no more power over you. He said, fear the one who has the power to kill the body and cast you into eternal hellfire. We say, some people say today, well, I don't believe in that hellfire and damnation preaching. In fact, I've heard some people say, very popular minister over in our country, was interviewed by Larry King, Joel Osteen, supposed to be a preacher of the gospel, and he said on his program, well, I'm not really certain that there's real fire in hell. You say, why would a man compromise like that? My own opinion right now is here's why people do that, ultimately why ministers do that. I don't know, maybe they don't do that in the UK. You know what this means? It means money. See, you're going to make some people mad. But can I tell you, I was traveling with my mother and father and my sisters, my youngest brother. We were traveling between Kalamazoo, my hometown. We were going to Battle Creek one Saturday morning. We were on a 2-lane highway and we came up over the crest of a hill. And down below at the bottom of that hill was smoke so thick, so dense you could not see. My dad pulled his car off to the side of the road, and my father and I got out of the car and made our way down through the smoke until we saw that it was a semi tractor and trailer that had caught on fire. A terrible accident had occurred. I was just a little lad holding my father's hand. But it was the first time in my life that I'd ever seen anyone burn up. It was the first time in my life I'd ever heard anyone scream and cry out because they were in such pain because of the fire. Oh, my friend, come into the ark. You see, one day that door closed. And when it began to rain, they no longer needed faith, did they? And because they could not then exercise faith, they could not get on board the ark. Because you'll only get on by faith, seeing that which you cannot see with your eyes, accepting that which you cannot see or feel or touch, but you accept it by faith because God says it in His Word. And if you really believe that there is judgment coming, then you will get on board the ark. But for everyone else, when that door closed, when the rain began, no matter how hard they tried, they could not get on board. Can you imagine how awful it must have been for Noah and his family to listen to his other neighbors, people that they had known for hundreds and hundreds of years?
Noah, open the door! Noah, you were right! Noah, we were wrong! We're so sorry! We didn't believe you! I'm sorry we ridiculed you, Noah! I'm sorry we poked fun of you! I'm sorry that we didn't believe, but Noah, now it's raining, and our houses are being flooded, and the ground is disappearing, and the waters are rising higher! Noah, open the door! Noah, open the door! I've got my wife here! I've got my family here! Noah, open the door! But Noah couldn't open the door, because God shut the door. Now you can either be moved by fear now, or you can live in fear forever in an eternal lake of fire. Choice is ours. Oh, I'm so glad I'm in the ark. I'm so glad that the price was paid by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I simply exercised faith to get in the ark. The third time that this man Noah is mentioned in the New Testament is in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter's epistle to these believers that had been scattered because of their faith in Christ has focused on the importance of their submission to God-ordained authority and government and in the home, and recognizing that as they live for Jesus Christ, they'll be falsely accused and be persecuted. He begins talking about suffering for the will of God and in the will of God. And he begins, I want to begin at the sentence in verse number 18 so we can at least catch somewhat of the context. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 3 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient." Now don't miss this next statement. "When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved." I say this evening as one who is inside of the ark, the door still being open. I say to you that are outside of the ark, come into the ark. God will not wait forever. I'm grateful this evening that I have a long-suffering God. I'm glad that I have a Savior that suffered for my sins, that there might be a way out from the coming judgment from God. But I tell you this evening, my friend, if you are waiting to become an old man or an old woman before you come into the ark, you have no guarantee that you'll ever grow old.
The long suffering of God could end for you tomorrow. I've been to the hospital when a young lad in his teens would pass away. I've buried young men and young ladies in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s and their 50s. Not everybody lives to be a ripe old age. I dare say that if we were to meet back again 12 months from tonight, if we could all gather in this same room that we're in this evening, that there would be an empty space here and here and there. That next door would be the body of somebody that's here tonight. You see, you don't know. It is only of the Lord's mercies that you're here this evening, my friend. It's only of the Lord's mercies that I ever stepped foot onto the ark. What a shame it would be for us to consider the ark to be such a small decision in our lives that we would postpone it. Why would anyone ever stay outside of the ark? Because inside of the ark, all of the fleshly amusements are forbidden. But while you're outside of the ark, engaging and indulging in fleshly enjoyments, the door may shut on you. And then it'll be too late. I remember a young man that I witnessed to in my junior high school when I was a teenager. And he said to me, he said, "You know, Paul," he said, "someday I'm going to become a Christian. But not now. Someday, but not now. Someday, but not now." Soon after that conversation with that young man, I sat down in the evening to watch the news. The 11 o'clock news in our community came on. The first story was the story of a young man, my friend, whose parents had been building a new home, and he had gone over after school that day, and the roofers had been there. They'd laid the plywood and they'd laid the tar paper for the shingles, but they hadn't shingled the roof yet. And that young man got in his mind the idea of climbing up on top of that two-story home. And he climbed up onto the roof of that house and began to walk up to the peak of that home. And the workmen had been there that day, and when they had put the tar paper over, they didn't cut the hole where the fireplace would go through. And that young man, my friend, stepped on that tar paper and fell all the way down to the basement of that home and died. It wasn't that he didn't intend to get on the ark. He just thought, not now. There are too many things I'm enjoying in this life to get on board the ark. And after all, I don't know when the door is going to close. My friend, you don't know when the door is going to close. But you do know that the door will close. God's been long-suffering to you. Why not quit playing church? Why not quit playing at this thing with God and realize you know a lot about the ark, but you've never got on board the ark? And humble yourself and get on board the ark. Finally, the Apostle Peter, on one other occasion, mentions Noah and the ark, the fourth and final time that this marvelous man out of the Old Testament is mentioned. And it's in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. The dear believers scattered faced all kinds of persecution. The worst persecution coming from those that were supposed to be religious people. The Bible calls them false prophets, verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You're nothing more than a business commodity to them to increase their bottom line. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You can pick these programs up on the television, radio, literature. Multitudes and multitudes of people follow their pernicious ways as they make merchandise of them. But he reminds them, verse 4, that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and delivered just Lot. You get the picture. God reminds us and encourages every one of us that are in the ark that there is coming a day when all of the false prophets, all of those that have mocked and ridiculed the name of Jesus Christ, who have said that we're crazy and we're insane and we're not cooperative with the world in which we live, and we don't just really get it, all of those that deny Jesus Christ, the Bible says their judgment day is coming. Come into the ark. That false preacher that you've chosen to believe won't be there to help you in your eternity. He'll be there in hell with you. You say, oh, but he's such a wonderful minister and such a kind man. But if he's a false preacher, he's anti-Jesus Christ. You say, well, but my parents and my grandparents and all generations have gone to that church and now it's apostate. Get out. If you're in the ark, you don't belong in the apostate church. One day, all apostasy will be removed. And the faithful prophets of God, faithful servants like your pastor here, will receive the honor and the blessing that they deserve and that they do not receive from this godless world in which we live. I watched with interest Christmas Day. I watched Pope Benedict give his Christmas address in St. Peter's Square. I took down a part of the quote so that I'd make sure that I heard it correctly. As he said, a united humanity will be able to confront the many troubling problems of the present time. Excuse me, my friend. That is false doctrine. A united humanity is, first of all, an impossibility. But secondly, you could put all of humanity together on one team and never help one soul enter eternal life in heaven. It's only through the door of the ark, and the ark is Jesus Christ, not the Roman Church, not the Presbyterian Church, not the Baptist Church, not any cult, not any schism, not any ism. It is only through the person of Christ. Peter reminds us that one day there will be a separation. And all of us that are in the ark will be carried safely home to walk on streets of gold through gates of pearl. Several months ago, it was a Sunday morning. As I concluded the morning service, a man and his wife and adult child came up to me. asked if they could speak with me for a moment. And as soon as he spoke, I had an idea of his background theologically. He came up to me and he said, "Father Kingsbury, may I speak to you?" Now, I am a father. I have 12 children. And so I thought that that would be okay. And so I said, "Yes, you may." He said, "If my priest knew that I were here this morning, he would be very upset with me." But he said, "This has been the most unusual service that I've ever been in my life." And he said, "We came on Friday evening to your drug addiction program. We've been coming the last several weeks with our daughter. And we're seeing her life change. And I'm wondering, Father, could you tell us how we can be changed too?" In a couple of weeks, they came into the ark. They came into the ark. God said to Noah, "Come into the ark." The Bible says Noah and his family went into the ark. Whew. There's nothing like being in the ark. I don't have to worry about my future. I got in here by faith. The false prophets, all going to be put away. One day, I'll see my Savior in the new world. All because I came into the ark. Let us bow together. I wonder this evening, with our heads bowed and eyes closed in this room tonight, I would believe that it'd be very likely that there are some in this room tonight who need to come into the ark. You say, "Brother Kingsbury, how could it be so simple?" Thank the Lord He made it simple so that ignorant people like me could get into the ark. I'm glad He didn't make the price tag some exorbitant sum of money like some churches do to promise you that you'll get into heaven. No, He said you just come into the ark by faith through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Son. I beg of you this evening, if you've never come into the ark, I beg of you tonight to come into the ark. In the quietness of this moment, with your head bowed and your eyes closed before God, God who sees your heart, would listen to you pray a sinner's prayer. By faith, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and lived a sinless life and died on Calvary's cross for your sins and literally, physically rose again 3 days later, if you're willing to admit to that Savior that you are a helpless, hopelessly lost sinner, by faith receive His gift of eternal life. He'll take you on board the ark tonight. You might pray something like this: "Dear God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinful person. I have disobeyed your laws. I am not deserving of your grace or mercy or of going to heaven when I die. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the ark. By faith tonight, I want to step on board the ark." I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say, "Pastor Kingsbury, I'm making that decision tonight. Please pray for me." Anyone like that at all? Would you just lift your hand and let me acknowledge that? Anyone at all? Perhaps you're like the one that the pastor said of earlier this evening, that emailed, that said, "I was watching over the World Wide Web and I lifted my hand making a decision." Those of you that are watching this evening, oh, my friend, I beg of you, come into the ark while the door is still open. There's nothing like being in the ark. The storms haven't come yet, but they're coming. Dear child of God, why should we be afraid? After all, we're in the ark. Why should we complain? After all, we're in the ark. Why would we look through the little window and look out into the world that's headed to an eternity of judgment and ever wish we could step back out into that world? After all, we're in the ark. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Noah. Thank you for his faith. Thank you for preserving humanity and salvation through the ark. And I pray, dear God, that this truth would bring great encouragement to each of us who are born again. And I pray that there will be many who will come who are unsaved, who will come into the ark. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.